So Dr. Ost has been going through the book of Daniel with us over the last few months and a few other messages. I've talked about the importance of witness in the Bible, and I thought today would be a good one to go through and talk about the authority of Daniel, that is, who wrote Daniel and when he wrote it. Because of all the books in the Old Testament that is the most maligned in terms of believing that Daniel has some kind of authority, Daniel is that book. Secular scholars, in their attempts to basically say that the Old Testament wasn't, you know, something that came into being until shortly before or shortly after Jesus Christ walked this earth, will point to Daniel. And they'll give five reasons that they think that Daniel wasn't written until sometime in the 100s BCE. Let's just go through those five reasons real quick, and then we're going to talk about why. We're going to go through seven reasons, actually, very quickly, because I'm not going to refer to too many scriptures for several of the reasons. Talk about why we can believe Daniel actually did write when he wrote, and Daniel was the author of this book, or somebody very close to Daniel at that time. So why would Daniel be considered to have been written by somebody writing pseudonymously, that is, not Daniel, much later than Daniel apparently poses as being written? That reason that secular scholars use is that they will point to the fact that the Sadducees oftentimes are said to have rejected much of the Old Testament, and Daniel would have been one of those books that they would have said eh to. Then they'll point to the prophecies in Daniel. Some of them are way specific. We look specifically, for example, at Daniel 11, which seems to point to the kings of the north and south, and it seems too accurate, especially verses 30 through 39, which definitely point to the Maccabees. And so they'll say, well, it must have been written after the Maccabees came and went, because after, from verse 40 on, it becomes a much more obscure document in terms of the prophecies going on. Then they'll point to the fact that Daniel is not quoted until much later, until the 2nd century BCE. And they'll look at a book called The Wisdom of Sirach, which is written around 180. It quotes from most books in the Old Testament, but it does not quote from Daniel. However, the Sibylline Chronicles in 150, so about 30 years later, quotes from it quite a bit. So the logical solution there is Daniel must have been written between 180 and 150. And that makes sense because of the fourth reason then. Apocalypses were really popular in the 2nd century BC, so Daniel must have been written during that period of time. And finally, they'll point to the fact that actually there are several Greek and Persian mythological references to a statue with various medals pointing to various kingdoms. Ah, Daniel must have borrowed this from Greek and Persian mythology. All right, now let's go through the traditional explanation and why we can believe that this traditional explanation actually holds water and holds more water than the secular one. Daniel was written around 520 BC, and we can see that from references within Daniel himself. So that's our first reason that we can believe that, is from references within Daniel itself. Let's go to Daniel 1. Daniel 1, and we'll look at verses 1 through 3 here. So this gives us the timing of the first part of Daniel's life, first part of this book. Daniel 1 and verse 1, we read, "In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spoke unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and the king's seed and of the princes." Now let's drop down to verse 6. "And now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah." So here we have Daniel as a child brought into Babylon in the third year of Jehoiakim. So that would have been around 597 BC. And Daniel would have been a young child, a young man, young child, a child, probably somewhere between 10 and 15 years old. So that's when he came into being. Let's go to Daniel 9:1. We'll see him as an old man here. We could also turn to Daniel 11:1, but we're going to look at Daniel 9:1 to get the view of the time during which Daniel lived. Daniel 9 and verse 1, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. So here we have a reference to Darius the Mede. This is towards the end of Daniel's life. Now, Darius the First reigned from 522 to 486 BC. Okay? So if Daniel was around 10 years old in 597, he would have been 85 or so when he wrote down these prophecies. However, Darius the Mede is basically referenced mostly just here in Daniel. So many people say that this is actually just another name for Cyrus. And Cyrus is mentioned in Daniel 10 and verse 1. And if that was were the case, then that would actually move up Daniel a little bit to 537, which would mean that Daniel would have been about 70 years old when he was an older man and writing down much of this material. Another possibility is that Darius was a local Babylonian governor under the Persians, which again would give us a slightly earlier date. But nevertheless, we have this dating for Daniel's life, which is in this 6th century BC. Okay. That's our first reason. That's given to us right in Daniel itself. Second reason we can trust that Daniel was written when it was written, the language that is used in Daniel. The language that is used in Daniel. Daniel is written in a form, was written in a form of Aramaic, which points to the 7th century, not the 2nd century. It's a royal or official dialect that Daniel uses, whereas if he had been writing in the 2nd century, he would have been more inclined to have written in a more colloquial dialect that was used at the time. So that was our second one. So language, internal references. Okay, third one, references in the Bible itself. References in the Bible itself. Let's go to Ezekiel 28 and verse 3. Ezekiel 28 and verse 3. We could also go to Ezekiel 14, but we're going to go to Ezekiel 28 and verse 3 here. Here we see a reference to this man, Daniel. And Ezekiel 28 and verse 3 says, "Behold, you are wiser than whom? Than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from you." So Daniel, in Ezekiel's time, was known as a wise man. And if we were to go to Ezekiel 14, we would see that Daniel was noted as a righteous man. Now, this is during the time of Ezekiel. Well, when was the time of Ezekiel? Ezekiel was writing during the time of the Babylonian captivity, starting from the fifth year of Jehoiakim's reign. And so a couple years after Daniel had gone to be with the Babylonian leaders. As such, Daniel must have been a well-known figure in the kingdom at the time, during this 6th century, which means, of course, that he isn't a figure that was simply made up centuries later and then cast back in time, as some people try to claim. Okay, so that was our third reason. Fourth reason, Daniel's position in the Jewish scriptures is because of his position in the kingdom of Israel. Daniel's position in the Jewish scriptures is because of his position in the Jewish kingdom. What do I mean by that? A lot of people will say that Daniel, in the Jewish scriptures, Daniel is placed in the writings. He's not placed with the minor prophets. Well, why is that? Well, scholars will say it's because it was a very late book and they just added it in right at the very end. If we were to go to Daniel 1:7, we would learn that Daniel was a eunuch. Daniel was a eunuch. And then if we were to go to Deuteronomy 23 and verse 1, we would learn that eunuchs were not allowed into the temple. And so in the Jewish reckoning, the prophets are akin to a priesthood of sorts. And so he could not be placed among the prophets, among the minor prophets. He had to be relegated to the writings. And so this actually then shows that doesn't show Daniel's the time of Daniel's writings. It shows his placement and his position within Israel. That was our fourth reason. Fifth, Daniel predates the apocalypses. Daniel predates the apocalypses. In other words, Daniel, the book of Daniel, is a proto-apocalypse. Scholars make the argument that it had to have been written during the time that apocalypses were popular, but one can just as easily say that Daniel was the first apocalypse and that everybody else was copying Daniel. There's not really any evidence one way or the other. In fact, many of the scholars who will point to Greek and Persian mythology and will say Daniel had to come after it, well, we could just as easily say Daniel came before that and the mythology is ripping off Daniel. In fact, there's good reason to believe that. Why is that? Well, if we look at that statue, Daniel 2, we have, what, four kingdoms, okay? And the fourth kingdom is Rome. Well, Daniel, even in the 100s, would have been writing before the kingdom of Rome had come to the fore. And so, he's still prophesying. And the way that scholars get around this is they will argue that Rome was not one of those four kingdoms. They will argue that the four kingdoms are Babylon, the Medes, Persia, and the Greeks. So they'll split up the Medes and Persians, but that is not how Daniel refers to the Medes and Persians. We would go to Daniel 5 and verse 28, or Daniel 6, 8, or Daniel 6, 12, or Daniel 6, 15, or most pertinently, Daniel 8, 21 through 22. In each case, Daniel talks about the Medes and the Persians together. And in fact, in Daniel 8 there, he talks about the Medes and the Persians displacing going up against the Medes and the Persians, displacing them. So Daniel, in other words, saw the Medes and the Persians as one empire, if we look in the work itself. He's not trying to claim that they are two different empires. All right, so Daniel, as such, is the prototypical apocalypse from which all these other apocalypses, the Book of Enoch and so on and so forth, came from. All right, sixth. Daniel, in the 100s, was very popular. So here's some thinking about this. If he didn't even exist in 180, and by 150 he's being quoted a lot in this other book, and in fact he's being quoted, there are more manuscripts in the Dead Sea Scrolls of Daniel than one could possibly really even imagine, as compared to something like the Book of Enoch or something. These other apocalypses don't have near the same number. So he's very popular. It doesn't make a lot of sense if his book had just been written like 10 years ago. I mean, we're not dealing with printing presses, we're dealing with people who chose to write out these manuscripts and then keep them. And so that suggests that Daniel had actually already been around for quite some time. That is, his book had. All right, and our seventh reason here is that there are historical details. There are historical details in Daniel that can only be known by somebody who had lived at the time. Okay, historical details. Let's go to Daniel 5 and verse 16. Daniel 5 and verse 16. This is the tale of the writing of the wall at the very end, the Babylonian Empire. And any historian worth his grain of whatever knows that the last king of Babylon was Nabonidus. But here, in Daniel 5, the last king of Babylon is listed as Belshazzar. And so a lot of scholars pointed to this and said, Daniel must have made this all up. And this person obviously didn't even know his history. But there's an interesting thing here that happens in Daniel 5 and verse 16. And this is when Belshazzar is talking about Daniel and asking him to interpret this writing that's on the wall. Let's notice what he says here. And I have heard of you that you can make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now, if you can read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, you shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about your neck, and you shall be third in ruler in the kingdom. Well, this is very odd, isn't it? He's basically, this man, Belshazzar, is saying to Daniel, hey, you can have the third position in the kingdom. Why wouldn't he offer him the second position in the kingdom? Well, around the early 19th century, archaeologists came across some materials that explained who this Belshazzar is, this fictional character, per se. turns out that Belshazzar was the regent of Babylon. He was like the vice president. He was the man in charge of Babylon when Nabonidus was out to battle and out doing other things. So Belshazzar, essentially, is in charge at this point. But he's not first in the kingdom. He's second in the kingdom. And so he can only offer Daniel the third position in the kingdom. And suddenly it all makes sense. But it wouldn't make sense, of course, if you're looking at things from what we had known about history until, of course, those archaeological discoveries. And so Daniel proved to be more historically accurate than even we could understand and know. So therefore, what we can know then is that Daniel is the author and wrote at the time that the book of Daniel was written, or somebody close to him wrote at the time that we believe the book of Daniel was written, and that the works in Daniel, the words in Daniel, are prophecies, not simply history posing as prophecy. And as such, Daniel has authority for us and for our understanding of Scripture in general.